Welcome to the Pint and Click podcast. I'm Dave. I'm here with Jamie and Joel, and today we're going to talk about a new book that's just on the shelves called The Broken Girls by Simone St. James. We actually got advanced copies of this from Danielle at Berkeley Penguin Random House, so thank you, Danielle. So we got to read them, and now we can review the book as it comes out and is fresh on the shelf. Put your holds in now because it looks pretty popular.
It's already out, right? Our copy is already out, right?
It's already out, yeah. And there's holds on Overdrive. Yeah. So if you're a Des Plaines patron, definitely play some holds. So the book begins it appears to be a ghost story. There's this school, and it has a couple of different timelines. Like there's an era in the, I believe, 50s when mm-hmm. the school is active, and there's a couple of girls there. And then again, in the present day, the 2000 teens, a woman who's the school is long closed down, and she's investigating the reopening of the school, or at least the renovation of the school. So what do we think of The Broken Girls?
To me, it had an arc, as you know, any book would, but sometimes it takes a lot of effort to get the ball rolling mm-hmm. as you're reading the story. And mm-hmm. this one, it took a little bit of kind of chipping away. Mm-hmm. But then as you started to get, you know, it was slowly but surely, like once the plot, like you kept getting further and further in, it became, to me, less and less harder reading. Easier, I guess, would mm-hmm. be the term. But until you hit like breakneck speed towards the end, which is, you know, a good book.
Yeah.
And she knew what she was doing. As far as like technical aspects, I can't really, you know, I don't have the words for that, but it just, I felt that she was promising a lot and she delivered, I would think, on most of it. If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. It did have some ghost elements to it, had a mystery mm-hmm. element to it. Although
there's murders in the different timelines. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's so many threads.
Yeah. But like one of the mysteries was already solved and you're just basically looking for confirmation mm-hmm. of that. But that was kind of something. But, you know, overall, I would say I did enjoy it, but not as much as I had maybe hoped.
Sure.
I agree that I felt like at the beginning, I think one of the difficulties with having multiple narrators or multiple timelines is that sometimes your readers will get invested more into one storyline than another. And that's how I felt in the first half of this book, is I was really intrigued by what was happening in the current timeline, where we have this young journalist who's drawn to the reopening of this kind of gothic-y boarding house that's swirling with rumors. And her own sister was murdered there, not while the school was active, but in between that time. And so that's why she's kind of drawn to that space. And I was really intrigued by that from the beginning. But in the 1950 timeline, it's further split up between four different roommates who were staying in the boarding house at that boarding school at the time. So it switches off between 2014 and 1950. And in 1950, it switches off between the four different girls. So I think I had more difficulty getting into that storyline because we kept switching and because it was moving a little slower at the beginning. So I did think it took me to like the middle point where I was equally invested and I wasn't just trying to like get through the 1950 scenes to be like, okay, so where is this mystery going? Mm-hmm. But she did keep cropping up new mysteries throughout. And I think it's not a book that I would normally pick up. I did get through it really quickly and it was really interesting to me. I'm not sure if I would have wanted to know that it was like a ghost story or not from the beginning. And again, this kind of was like, I don't know how much I want to say because it is talking about the ending, but it does like mm-hmm. bill itself kind of being as like supernatural and ghostly on the blurb and the marketing materials. But I thought it, because of the way the book was written, I assumed it was more like mystery. And I was assuming that everything would have a logical answer or there would be reasons for why everything was happening. And not all of that shook out the way I thought it was going to. So I think she does a really good job of blending those genres of like the typical historical mystery and supernatural ghost story. But I think because I'm more drawn to one than the other, I was a little disappointed in the ending.
So I opted to go third in this discussion because I did not like the book at all. I could not get into it. Chapter after chapter was miserable.
And pull no punches.
No, I got the 50 pages and I threw up my hands and I'm like, that's the end of that.
Well, that's a good, you know, the 50 page rule. So
yeah,
you achieve that.
Time is precious.
Yeah. Well, whatever, Game of Thrones, the big event is at page 65 or something like that. So I always want to get at least that far.
Uh-huh.
So I agree with Joel, you said it's harder in the beginning and it gets better later on, or it gets easier later on. That's interesting to hear because I had a miserable time in the beginning. Mm-hmm. But I disagree with Jamie. I was more interested in the girls in the 50s because there really seemed to be a supernatural presence there with, you know, seeing things in the corner of your vision and hearing voices when you're on the field. And I'm like, and then it goes forward to this woman who's investigating. And I'm just like, I don't care. I don't care about, like, there's no ghost here. She's like walking around the grounds. Not yet. And they're just, yeah, okay, yeah, maybe later. But
see, I thought it was great in the current time frame because it showed journalism in the new century where you utilize Google. And you really, you don't rely on it, but you really use it to get you through to where you want to go. And I thought that was, it was well researched. And I like that aspect of it. Yeah. And another part, this all takes place in a town near Burlington, Vermont. And I visited Vermont a few years ago, and one of the towns that I love the name of the town was Winooski, Vermont. And I'm very happy that it actually made it into the book. There's a Winooski Avenue in the book. And so that, to me, it was like a stamp of certification of, you know, she really either knows Vermont or she really did research on it. And there was a little bit of a theme of stretching towards greatness but can't achieve it, and everything's kind of decaying now. And every building that the characters are in, you know, is it a rich place? Is it, you know, is it down on its luck? Is it? And so that was illuminating, yet also on the other side of the coin, it was a little irritating. But, you know, that's something that you can just ignore as you're reading the book. Or, you know, if you're interested in that, you're just, it just kind of adds to what you get out of this book.
I definitely feel like it was very atmospheric, and I felt like the place was definitely like a character to me, and that was what I was like very invested in, maybe more than some of the other characters. But I think it's really interesting that the parts where you were like, the 1950s parts that you were into, was where I was like, oh, enough with the ghosts, I don't care about the ghosts, bring me back to like the journalism, kind of more crime procedural stuff. So again, that's, I think, maybe one of the challenges with going more cross-genre and having two different stories is that what draws one person will make it, them love that is also maybe what the other reader will hate. And how do you kind of navigate that without making someone give up in the middle?
Sure, yeah. Because I almost thought about just like, should I skip every other chapter and only read the 50s stuff?
That would have been an interesting way of going through the book and see if they could come out. There was, you know, tie-in towards the end, you obviously. And it didn't work out the way I was expecting it to work out. So that, you know, a big bonus for Simone St. James there.
And I know that in more mystery or supernatural books like this, the character development is not always the draw. But what did you...
Almost never.
Yeah. But what did you think about the characters? Were you engrossed by them, or was it... I was like, what's happening in this? Yeah. I wanted to know the end of the mystery. I didn't care about the characters.
I didn't care about any character.
I didn't care about, there's constant reference to her, the journalist's boyfriend's beard, or lack thereof, and I really didn't need that. I think that was for maybe the possible romantically inclined, like romance reading inclined readers. They might have liked that, but I could have done way without that. And the character development, even the, back in the 50s, the group of friends, I've seen a little bit just like cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, like tropey. It's like, oh, this is like... the one who has the estranged father. This is the like the rich one who's like neglected. There's this the athlete, trouble one right, maker. There. Yeah.
But you know, again, if you're interested in the mystery, you need, it's almost like a, what do they call it in soccer? With a set piece, you have these things set up, and then it turns into like a Rube Goldbergian thing where you enact this, and that affects this stereotype this way, and that affects this, and it comes down, and that's the whole beauty of that is setting all that up and then watching everything fall down or, you know, coming out to a resolution. And I wasn't, you know, thoroughly heartwarmed by any of the characters, but I thought the mystery was enough to pull through. It was the, you know, the string that pulled everything through.
Yeah, like, so the first chapter or the prologue, I'm not sure what it is, of a girl being chased. Like, I read that and I liked it very much. I'm like, all right, let's go. Let's have a weird supernatural presence. But then you get to the book proper, the two timelines, and one has it and one doesn't in the beginning. And so I'm like, I don't care. She's talking to her boyfriend on a bench outside of the police department. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care.
I felt like a lot of time was devoted to kind of trying to set up these characters and make you care about them, but not in a way that made you actually do.
I mean, I don't know if it's like a page thing, like it has to be over 300 pages. or, I mean, no, I'm, I just, I don't know. Or if it might just be legitimate, but I think that it's not necessary. You know, I can think of a few read-alikes for this book. Mm-hmm. One is James Herbert, The Secret of Quickly Hall, where a family moves into, you know, it's how many ghost stories start off with a family moves into a new house.
Yeah.
Okay.
But a family moves into a new house.
Yeah.
And they're isolated and all these things happen and, mm-hmm. and ghosts and stuff like that. And there's another one by Yrsa Sigurdardottir. I hope I pronounced that right. She's an Icelandic mystery author. Mm-hmm. It's called I Remember You. Mm-hmm. A bunch of friends go into a house in this isolated fishing town. And stuff happens there, but it's haunting and creepy. But yet, there's a huge mystery to be solved. There's mm-hmm. a missing boy, and people have to figure out what happened and stuff like that. So, and there's a new release coming out, Paper Ghosts. And I don't have the last name of the author, but the first name is Jean. It starts with an H. It's a new release, and that involves a journalist who, her sister, it takes place in Texas, and her sister is recently killed,
mm-hmm.
and she goes to the person she thinks killed her sister and try to find out what's going on. But with all those, the characters, I don't think that, especially in the first two that I've read, that this third one, Paper Ghosts, I have not mm-hmm. read. But in the first two, the characters are very, they're not deep,
mm-hmm.
you know, but they're enough to carry you through.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're reading these for character development, mm-hmm. you're reading the wrong book.
Yeah.
Julia Haberlin, by the way, author okay. of Paper yes. Ghosts. Haberlin. Yeah, I will also definitely say, like, this is not my genre. This is mm-hmm. not my style. I'm a hard sci-fi reader. So I like world building very much. Mm-hmm. And so, like, descriptions of the building of this school,
mm-hmm.
like, kind of really appealed to me, almost in, like, a Tolkien way, the way he always described the landscape, wherever they were, the nuances of the forest they were in and things like that, mm-hmm. like, kind of gave this, like, oh, I'm interested in this school almost. I'm interested in this building more than I'm interested yeah. in the people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was interesting to me, but it, again, not enough. Like, this is not what I go for. Like, I wanted the ghost to kill someone in the first 20 pages, I think, is what I wanted. I wanted.
Well, maybe it did.
I wanted. Maybe it did.
That's true.
Maybe it,
to me, it made me think of two films. It was pretty much, to me, a combination between Dead Poets Society
mm-hmm.
And What Lies Beneath. And it was really just kind of like a mashup between the two.
That sounds good.
Of these adolescents trying to figure out things without their parents at a school, and they feel that they've been neglected really by mm-hmm. their parents and passed over. And I guess like a sense of failure that they failed
mm-hmm.
their parents to be sent to this school. I think there's a big feeling of that. And then these weird, mysterious happenings that they can't explain. And it's all because of a wrong that needs to be righted.
Mm-hmm.
But just those two movies really just kind of came together for me. This would be a combination of those two movies.
That's interesting because when I was reading it, I was like, I think I'd be more interested in this seeing this as a movie than reading it as a book. Mm-hmm. Because, again, I thought the plot was interesting, but I think all the things that tripped me up were more on like the writing level and about how it was put together.
That's a thing I've heard often lately. My last book club, we did After Party by Daryl Gregory, and like everyone agreed, like, this reads like a movie. It's not really a book. Like, there's action scenes that maybe didn't need to be there, mm-hmm. except that in a movie you have action, you know, plotted throughout to get people, you know, excited again.
Visual
right?
stimulus, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So is that like a thing? Is that like a new emergent trend in books? Like,
I hope not.
Reads like a movie?
Keep it as a movie.
Yeah.
I want that interiority and, you know, emotional landscape as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. So recommend it? Would you recommend people read it? Do you think?
I think.
It would depend on the reader.
Yes,
it would
definitely.
On the reader, yeah.
If I know that they're into, you know, books in this genre. And
mass
like this.
Consumers of yes. mystery, but I would definitely warn them there may or may not be a supernatural element to the story.
Yes.
And how prepared are you to handle that?
Sure.
I was not prepared, and then I was displeased. Mm. But I think in looking on Goodreads and stuff, people are raving about it. They love it. There's so many 5-star reviews and on Amazon too. So it seems like it is very widely popular.
Yeah, it's caught fire with a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not me, you know, and us to some degree, but yeah, the holds list is enormous. So if you're looking to check out this book, like, definitely put your name on the list now
mm-hmm.
or, you know, do what you got to do at your local library to get it. But it is extremely popular. All right, that'll do it for the Pint and Click podcast. We'll see you next time.